Good morning. This is the recorded worship service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday, the 7th of February, and we're very glad that you're listening. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman. During this service, we will celebrate Holy Communion, and you may wish to have bread and wine or juice prepared before you start listening.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship. We gather to worship God, whose creative imagination never fails. We gather to praise God, whose steadfast love never weakens. We gather to offer our best to God, who walks with us through eternity. Our opening hymn. Here in this place, new light is streaming.
Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day.
Gather us in the lost and forsaken, gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken, we shall arise at the sound of our name.
We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race.
Gather us in the rich and the haughty, gather us in the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly, give us the courage to enter the song.
Here we will take the wine and the water, here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters, call us anew to be salt for the earth.
Give us to drink the wine of compassion, give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true.
In the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away, but here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the kingdom, now is the day.
Gather us in and hold us forever, gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bones, fire of love in our flesh
and our
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for so much given so richly to enjoy. The splendour of dawn and the glory of sunset and the comforting cover of the dark. The surging life of a city and the peace that falls by hillside or seashore. We thank you for every gracious human relationship, the enrichment of family ties, the creative growths of friendships, the discipline of work, and the liberty of leisure. We thank you for all that leads beyond this present world, for prayer, meeting with you, asking of you, listening to you, for the heritage of faith in the life of your church, keeping us mindful of your truth and love, for immortal longings in our hearts and sudden glimpses of eternity in the midst of time. As you bless us in the ecstasies of life, so draw near to us when we face our failures. Gracious God, forgive us for living selfishly as if no one mattered but ourselves, for living carelessly as if we belonged to ourselves, for acting too quickly and thinking too late, for unwise and unkind words, for cowardly and discourteous silence, for being so ready with our criticisms and so scant with our sympathies. In such a moment of self-awareness, of bitter regret or wistful longing, we thank you that all of life is understood and transformed in the presence and power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Lord, grant us that presence, grant us that power, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I think the lockdowns of this past year have given me time to remember many things from the past, especially from my childhood, the home I lived in till I was 8, and a move to another place. My memories of my first home are very happy ones, though they mostly go back to the tail end of the war, which I knew later had been a very tough time for my parents and many other people in my country, and in the aftermath. I remember eggs being coddled by my mother in a downstairs cloakroom for use in the winter, and a frightening-looking pressure cooker used for preserving the fruit from my father's vegetable and fruit garden behind the house. I remember the tennis balls coming over the netting at the back of the garden from a tennis court behind, and the playhouse for us children built out of wood and corrugated iron. I can still in my mind's eye see my sisters, who were twins, sneakily, when no one was looking, crawling under the netting of the strawberry bed and taking strawberries to eat, hiding behind the playhouse. That still brings a smile to my face. Later, I remember going to a local sweet shop with ration coupons and stocking up on sweets which had to last at least a week. I remember saving up for a wonderful second-hand green bicycle, which became my pride and joy, and I think cost £6. My memories do include these years at school and the friends I made, but when I think of those years, it is mostly of home, my family, and my activities around my home, walking and cycle rides, learning to love reading, swimming in a local river, and later visits to the cinema, as we didn't have a TV at that time. I remember crying over the film Bambi and loving the music of The King and I. A film which made a tremendous impact on me was a film with a title difficult to forget, The Inn of the Sixth Happiness, which I saw at the cinema when I was about 17. I had been confirmed at St Andrew's in Reading after attending the Sunday school there, and was very receptive to the true story of this film, which was about Gladys Aylward, a young woman living in London in the early 1930s, who for many years following attendance at a revival meeting when she was 18 felt God calling her to go to China to give her life over to serving God there. Many difficulties confronted her, her limited education and money being just two of them, but she set about overcoming them in a very determined fashion. She worked hard as a parlour maid and saved up for years in order to have enough money to make the hard, long journey overland by train mostly. With all her plans made, she packed a small case with, among other items, a passport, her Bible, tickets and money. She travelled through Western Europe and on to Russia and Japan and then to China, a very difficult and almost certainly frightening journey. She had one contact in China who had inspired her to travel there. Her name was Jeannie Lawson, who was a missionary and was preaching the Christian faith in Yangshen, in a mountainous area of China, which very few Europeans visited and where people didn't trust foreigners. The two women set about planning the best way to attract an audience to hear the message of Jesus. Knowing that the city in which they lived was an overnight stop for mule caravans and that the building in which they lived had once been an inn, they determined to do some repairs and restore its original purpose, offering food and care for the mules, along with hospitality, food and a warm bed for the drivers at a fair price. It is reported that Gladys would run out and grab the halter of the lead mule and lead it into their courtyard. The other mules followed and the drivers went along for the ride. In the evenings after serving a meal and before bed, the women would gather their guests and Jeannie would tell them stories about a man named Jesus. In this fashion, the gospel message began to be proclaimed, not only at their inn, but by the drivers who carried the stories with them to other stops along their journey. It also served to open Gladys' mind to the new challenge of learning the language as she sat and listened to these stories, participating as she was able. She spent many hours each day learning to communicate in the spoken Chinese of the locals until she finally was competent. Shortly after this, Jeannie fell and was seriously injured, leading to her death a few days later. Gladys, along with the Chinese cook, who was a Christian, determined to continue the work. Fluent in the language now, she began to share the gospel in surrounding villages, and through this she became aware of many unwanted children. Her missionary work turned to a different direction, care for these unwanted little ones. But her care wasn't limited to children only. During these years, China was under attack by Japan, and many Chinese soldiers were wounded. So she added their numbers to those for whom she provided help and healing. Her inn became a refuge for 20 orphans and as many as 30 to 40 injured soldiers at a time. The film continues the story of Gladys' life in China, which revolves very much around her faith and great courage. I would recommend reading the whole story of Gladys' life, a story of a life lived in total devotion to her God, preaching and healing. Why the title of the film, The Inn of the Sixth Happiness? Firstly, Gladys and Jeannie preached and taught in an inn. In Chinese philosophy, there are five elements in life: joy, anger, grief, worry, and fear. The sixth happiness of the title was ascribed to stand for the gospel. How appropriate.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, Not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I could preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Our second hymn, At Even Ere the Sun Was Set.
Oh,
Throughout history, there have been times when whole groups of people needed to be reminded that they could have hope, that they could soar. In times of trouble and great despair, the prophet spoke to such people with words and images of hope. Isaiah chapter 40 is delivered to such a people who are in exile. In the recent past, the Babylonians had defeated Israel, and many of the people were carried off into captivity. They were exiles. They were refugees. Not only had their God let them down and abandoned them in their time of need, it was obvious that the God of the Babylonians was stronger, or they would not have won. While our Bible gives a picture of their lives as one of complete despair, Babylonian records show that it was not as bad as we might imagine. For a number of reasons, the Babylonian king did not want to turn them into slaves, and it seems they were allowed to live as a group in certain areas. One of the things that became important to them was to preserve their identity by continuing some of their unique practices, such as dietary laws and male circumcision. Isaiah is reminding them of the great tradition from which they have come. He is reminding them that they have no need to despair. The God of creation has not abandoned them. The God of their ancestors has not abandoned them. The God who led them out of Egypt, through the wilderness and into the land of promise, had not abandoned them. Their God was not wandering around the ruins of their beloved city, pining for people to raise their voices in prayer and holy song. This God was with them, even in exile. This Isaiah is a prophet of hope. This Isaiah has been called to proclaim good news, the news that God was acting to save and restore the chosen people. In this and other passages, Isaiah challenges the people to look forward in hope. He utters the prophetic message that God is indeed with them and that God will continue to be with them. Isaiah tells them that when they fully realize this, they will be freed from the limits of their human experience. They will be able to live in true faithfulness. This chapter ends with one of the most beautiful images in the whole Bible. It is an image of power and beauty, a picture of trust and hope. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. From despair to majestic hope in just a few verses. I was introduced this week to John Claypool. John Claypool was the minister of a Baptist church in Kentucky in the late 1960s when his 10-year-old daughter was diagnosed with acute leukemia. Only 18 months and 10 days after the diagnosis, she died. It wasn't so much John Claypool that I was introduced to, but one of his sermons. The sermon was preached 2 weeks after her death and was based on the same reading we have heard today from Isaiah chapter 40. John entitled the sermon, Strength Not to Faint. The strength and deep encouragement he finds in the closing promise of the passage I find quite remarkable. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here I am this morning, he says at the end of his sermon. Sad, broken-hearted, still bearing in my spirit the wounds of this darkness. I confess to you honestly that I have no wings with which to fly or even legs on which to run. But listen, by the grace of God I am still on my feet. I have not fainted yet. I have not exploded in the anger of presumption, nor have I keeled over into the paralysis of despair. All I am doing is walking and not fainting, hanging in there, enduring with patience what I cannot change but have to bear. This may not sound like much to you, but to me it is the most appropriate and most needful gift of all from God. My religion has been the difference in the last 2 weeks. It has given me the gift of patience, the gift of endurance, the strength to walk and not faint. And I am here to give God thanks for that. And who knows, if I am willing to accept this gift and just hang in there and not cop out, maybe the day will come that my daughter and I will run again and not be weary, that we may even soar some day and rise up with wings as eagles. But until then, to walk and not faint, that is enough. O God, that is enough. There are times of soaring, for which we are immensely grateful. There are times of running and not growing weary, for which we give thanks. And there are times for all of us and for others around us when it is enough, truly enough, to be able to walk and not faint, to get through the day and the night that follows without falling or giving up entirely. And how often does the strength to do that come from others? From the help and support of family and friends that is there when we need it. And from what someone else has shared of their experience, strength and hope, and that we remember in our own times of struggle and crisis. Have you not known, the prophet says? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth that God is big enough to encompass and take in, to embrace and take on all our sorrow and pain? That God's love is greater than anything that might scare us or threaten us, greater also than anything we think we must do or must have to fight, whatever enemy we face. And that God is more loving and creative in his handling of all this, whether good or bad, easy or hard, and in his desire to draw all things together toward a good end than we can ever imagine history and life being capable of. And so, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's consider those who wait for the Lord, or wait upon the Lord, as we sometimes translate it. I suspect that a lot of people talk to God, and that they mean it quite honestly, giving thanks for what seems good and asking God's help, making requests of God for what they need and hope for in the spot they are in, and then going on, in a way, waiting to see if God will answer their prayers, but still getting on with things themselves in the meantime. I wonder, though, if as many as talk to God are also committed to listening to him and listening for God. Not just for God's happy, "You're welcome," when they offer thanks. And not just for God's yes or no to whatever they ask for, which can be hard enough. But also for God's quiet and often merely whispered, "Here I am," in the midst of whatever situation they are in. No matter how dark or painful, how tragic or God-forsaking it may appear to be. Israel found that really they did their best theology, that they found their way into their deepest communion with God, and that they themselves most became the people of God in the hardest times of their history, when they were most tempted to doubt and despair, when without the trappings of worldly success and strength, they learned to wait and listen for the Lord in the midst of their darkness, and they were able to see and know where and how God really is in this world to make it go round. In all that is going on around us, in activity and anxiety and tedium and terror, God is present and whispering to those with ears to hear, "Here I am." John Claypool, because of the way he shared his experience, strength and hope, helps me to listen and to wait upon God not just beyond, but also in the present moment. Are there others who help you to wait and to listen for God in your present moments? And are there others yet in the world that you live in who will be able to wait and listen for that presence of God in their present moments, because of what you share with them of your experience, strength, and hope? Last year, a British war veteran approaching his 100th birthday wanted to raise £1,000 in aid of NHS charities together as a way of thanking them for their hard work, including treating those who were affected by the COVID pandemic. He accepted the challenge to walk 100 laps of his garden at his home. And as he came closer and closer to his goal, he received more and more media attention. When his trek ended, he was given an honour guard and the title of Honorary Colonel. At the end, the total raised was £39 million, including gift aid. In one of his many interviews, he spoke of his wartime service and noted that there would be better days ahead. His biography is entitled, Tomorrow Will Be a Good Day. Captain Tom Moore was knighted by the Queen for his extraordinary service. He died this week from COVID. When I heard of his death, I thought of the words of another Second World War veteran who died last summer, soon after Captain Tom completed his challenge. Dame Vera Lynn sang of hope in a very dark time in this country's history. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover, and we'll meet again. On her 103rd birthday, when the nation was living in fear, not of bombs falling from the sky, but of a deadly virus they could not see, she advised us to find moments of joy. Sometimes we forget that we are not the first people to go through difficult times, whether it be a series of personal difficulties or a pandemic such as the one ravaging the world as we gather. Sometimes we forget to hear the words of hope, that in spite of what seems like impossible odds, the faithful can persevere and overcome. One day this will be behind us, and like Peter's mother-in-law, we will be released for service. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, Creator of our whole world, and hence of every living thing, we so easily forget that we are always in your presence. We ask you to help us now as we come to pray in humility and awe before you, granting us a sense of your perspective and call in relation to the things we now pray about. We give you heartfelt thanks for your uncountable generosity towards us. Please show us each day how we can be your true witnesses on earth. Help us, we pray, to recognize that despair and discouragement weaken our faith and separate us from awareness and openness to your love, guidance, and peace. Help us to keep our focus on you and your love instead, and to keep ourselves truly open to those who are feeling broken at this time by loneliness, loss of jobs, and loss of any vision of how for them this crisis will ever end. Please show us each day how we can be your body on earth for those in our communities who feel their lives have imploded. Help us, we pray, to recognize that despondence and fear weaken and can even extinguish the joy and hope that you want each one of us to be filled with. Help us to focus on you and faithfulness, your love, and your assurance that we may know your kingdom in this life as well as in the next, if we surrender ourselves to your love and earnestly and obediently seek your purpose for our lives. Help us to sense Who are the people in our communities with whom you want us to share our certainty that you'll always be there for and will strengthen those who do this, and to be ready to pray with them? Help us, we pray, to recognize that allowing our judgments to control our thinking limits the ability of your love to flow through us and prevents us from earnestly seeking to discern your own loving view about whatever it is we're making our own decisions about. Help us instead to keep our focus on you and seeking to know your will about the people and situations that so easily make us dismissive and critical, and to be aware of where you want us to show and share your love in the way we think and speak and act towards those whose actions we do not like. Lord God, we know that all creation is under your power and that your nature is always loving. Help us, we pray, to remember that even when bad things happen, you remain in control. Help us to see what lessons you want each one of us to draw from the worldwide COVID crisis and from the growing acknowledgement worldwide that we are destroying our environment for the way we live our own lives in future and the way we spend the time and money with which you have entrusted us. We pray for those who've lost loved ones. We ask that they may be aware of your love surrounding them, and we ask you to help us to sense how to give help and support in the right way. We pray for those who care for the sick and frail, and for those on whom the heavy burden of care for the very sick with the virus has fallen. We thank you for their unselfish love and humbling commitment to those so much in need, often at enormous personal cost. We ask you to strengthen them and to show us if there's anything we ourselves can do for them or those they care for. We pray for each of our missionary partners, Hans and Melissa Kools, Bibi Nedelec, and at Sutton Schools Work, Simon Ellingham, Becca McKay, Sarah Skinner, Kate Travers, Abby Bryan, and Sarah Colombo. We ask you to bless their work and to strengthen them at this difficult time. Faithful God, in the week that lies before us, may we reflect your love in the way that we live our lives, so that the world can see that we are followers of Christ, and by our words and actions draw others into your loving care. As we approach the time of Lent, we ask you to help us prepare to be challenged afresh as to what you are calling us to do and not to do, that we may be obedient to your will in all things and to walk with you in our lives. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
It makes no difference who you are or what you have done so far. What matters is what God has done for you. Christ has been born, has lived and died, and is risen for you. So share this bread, sign of his body broken, this wine, sign of his lifeblood poured out for you and for your fellow human beings. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are laboring under heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away." This invitation is from the Lord himself to all who need his love or lack his joy. Our hymn, "Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure, hold it." hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So at our Lord's command and following his example, we too take bread and wine, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. In the morning, awakening God, you took creation and flung it to the far corners of chaos, naming the stars twinkling in the night, shaping deserted places for prayers, feeding all the creatures in the fields. You longed to walk with those created in your image, so we would not weary. But we listened to the boasting of death as it proclaimed sin's opportunities. You sent the prophets who cried out, Haven't you been listening? Don't you realize what God is trying to do for you? But we continued to delight in all which opposed you. So having created all things, you became the one thing we needed, our Saviour. Holy are you, Star Namer, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. He became weak so the power of the world would be shattered. He became poor so we might be filled with the riches of your grace. He went to that deserted place we call the grave, so death might be knocked off its pedestal. As you breathed new life into his shattered spirit. As we search for him in our time, as we would proclaim the gospel, may we find that mystery we call faith. Christ died not boasting in himself. Christ was raised, the gospel lived out in him. Christ will come to take us by the hand, giving us strength. Here is that bread, which though broken, can strengthen the powerless. Here is that cup, which though emptied, can fill the weary with hope. Pour out your Spirit, not only on these gifts, but upon your children gathered. We come bone-tired, so make us bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. We can barely take another step, so empower us to walk beside the lonely and the homeless. We are so fatigued by our despair. Feed us with your hope and joy, so we may proclaim your kingdom to everyone we meet. And when the day comes to gather with all your children around the feast of the Lamb, we will join hands and dance around the table, singing your praise for ever and ever. God our Creator, Christ our servant, Spirit of newness, God in community, Holy One. Amen. The bread which we break is communion in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, broken for you. The cup which we take is communion in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children may be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. Shining God, even the darkness is not dark to you. Shine in our darkness, light of our lives. When we walk in the grey gloom of confusion, when pain draws all the colour out of life, when we are paralysed by the darkness of fear, shine in our darkness. When we know that others are walking in the darkness, give us courage to be light for them. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.